Back.
Definitely back for another one.
What's going on, my guy?
What's going on?
Man, good to see you again,
bro. See you again, bro.
Welcome back to the Maintenance Diaries.
Welcome.
This is episode 2. It's an amazing time to be doing this because it is the right time and the right season for us to do something that we can represent guys and girls that's like us, that's in the same industry as us, you know, making residents happy, making their stay at their home a pleasant one, you know? So welcome to the Maintenance Diaries. I'm your host, Michael.
And I'm Fred. And today we're going to be talking about something special today. It's going to be about maintenance, of course, but this time it's going to be, we're more than just a ranch.
Man, I like that. I like that. So basically we're going to be pulling back the curtains of what maintenance technicians really do in the industry. So happy to have you here. Let's go.
Let's go.
So we're just going to break it down to you on the role that we play, the things that we do, so that way you can understand fully what a maintenance technician, a maintenance supervisor, what our role is in the apartment industry. So for the first thing, we're going to start off with a typical day, like a daily routine of what maintenance does on a daily. So from the morning to the afternoon to the time we leave. What does that role look like as maintenance techs?
Well, the same thing that we do in the morning is the same thing that every other maintenance tech do in the morning, but a lot of people don't know what that entails, right? Mm-hmm. So the first thing you do in the morning is you hit the grounds, make sure the property is clean, the exterior looks presentable for potential residents. You walk the parking deck, you pick up any trash that's been left over by anyone, right?
Right.
And because the goal is to keep the place clean, keep the place presentable, because that is residents, current residents, that's their home. And also it is a potential home for a new resident.
Yep.
And if the place is not clean, and if it does not look, if the aesthetic is not pleasing to the eyes of the potential resident, then it's a deal breaker that you can lose a potential resident because the parking deck or the parking lot is dirty.
Trashed.
There's trash everywhere. The pool, the trash cans are overflowing. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's the first thing that we do in the morning. We make sure the grounds looks really good. The recycling room looks really good.
The trash compactors ran. And it, like, just as that routine goes in the morning, it was doing the grounds, running the compactor. It's astonishing to me that how much stuff that people leave on the ground outside of their cars.
Yes. Like, yeah.
You can go anywhere and anywhere to any apartment complex, you'll find trash. No matter what you do, any parking deck you go in, for some reason that people can't seem to go to the nearest trash can and throw things away. So and with us, it's our job to pick it up. But at the same time, we like to let residents know, like, hey, it's your job to throw away your own stuff so that way you can keep the place clean because this is your home too.
Right.
We are, and when I say we're more than just a wrench, we're not just cleaners. We're there to maintain the building, but also it's your home and we're maintaining your home. And we want you to kind of take pride in maintaining your home too. So that's just, I want to throw that in for that extra morning routine because, like I said, we're here to talk about the role, but we're also here to kind of bring insight of what can you do to help maintenance out as well.
Right, right. Because at the end of the day, we are all in this together. You know, we as maintenance techs provide a service to our residents. And in the apartment industry, it is solutions based, because everybody will run into an issue that they need solutions. And that's where we come in to provide a solution to make that person's life easier, right?
Right.
Also, it is the resident's responsibility also to take care of the home that you dwell in. Take care of the property, you know, because sometimes, like you said, residents would come and drive and they would just have their trash and everything. They would just leave it outside of the car, you know,
on the ground.
Yeah, right, leave it on the ground, let it go.
So after that morning routine of, you know, of course, you got to throw a pool in there. Pool is part of that morning routine. We have to make sure we get the pool chemicals ready, get everything set for our residents to enjoy during the day.
Right.
So after that, it's probably like around maybe 10 o'clock, 9:30, 10 o'clock. After that, what's the next step that maintenance guys take to take their next day, to take the day further in their role that they play when they're getting things ready next?
The next thing we do, I don't know about other techs, but for us, we use this platform called Leonardo. So Leonardo is a platform where you basically log the chemicals for the pool. Right, you log the alkalinity, the calcium hardness, you log the pH, the chlorine, the calcium, you know, all those things. Make sure that everything in the pool is good, right?
Right.
Also, we use Leo to log vacant units, move-out inspections, annual inspections, you know. So that's the platform that we use. So after the grounds and the recycling room is finished, the next step for us is to log into Leo, go to the pool, check the chemicals, make sure everything is good, and then log that information into Leo.
So are you familiar with, because I know Leo is one software that people that, you know, apartment complexes use. What's another one that they use as well? Because I know we used a different software when I was working for a company as well. And I know that goes across the board. Like, they're all interchangeable.
Yeah.
Some places prefer to use one rather than the other.
And
they're all different when it comes to like the software,
right?
But they all have their own thing that they use to kind of log those things inside the system, so that way you can keep track of what you're doing on a daily.
Yeah. The next platform that I know of is called Entrata. And Entrata is really popular. Leo, I've learned about Leo when I got to the company that I'm working for now. And it was a new experience because the UI is different from Entrata.
Yeah.
You know? So Entrata is another one that people use. There are I think there are a few others out there, but those are the two that I know of.
I got you. All right. So after you get into Leo, you start logging things in, what's the next step?
The next step, you go to the office, you look at the make-ready board, see the move-outs we have for the month or for the week or for a few days. You look at the process from the move-out to the process of make-ready to, you know, schedule the painters, schedule vendors, schedule. Well, first of all, you look at the move-outs, make a list of everything that you got to go check.
Right.
After we walk those units and we realize unit A needs paint, unit B needs the carpet replaced or whatever have you, you know, you log those things on the board and then you schedule the vendors, right?
Right.
So you schedule the painters to come in, and the following day you schedule the, whether it is to replace the carpet or to replace the vinyl floor, you have those vendors come in. So within the 7-day period, you have to make that unit ready from the time the person move out to the time that the leasing agent is going to show that unit to a potential resident.
Right.
So the process is, it's a 7-day turnover, but after we look at the board, we just go ahead and start walking those units.
So while you're walking these units and you're scheduling your turns, as far as like painter comes in, paints, cleaners come in and clean, you go in for preventative maintenance. As you're doing preventative maintenance, are you doing preventative maintenance or are you doing reactive maintenance? So what would be some good things to do as far as like, we know what preventative maintenance is just going through, checking everything to make sure everything works.
Mm-hmm.
But what about reactive maintenance? What does reactive maintenance look like whenever you're in these units? Are you searching for issues? You're looking further than this to test this washer out, this dryer out. Mm-hmm. You're going through, you're testing the dishwasher and you're opening cabinets. You're pulling on the cabinets to make mm-hmm. sure nothing loose. That looks more like reactive maintenance, I would say.
Yeah.
So with us having to do that, a lot of maintenance guys can attest that some days you do go in and you do preventative maintenance.
Yeah.
But for guys that really like get down to the nitty, they go in and just pull on everything just to make sure everything is bolted to the bolted to the wall, bolted to whatever. That's a good thing. Like being active or reactive is good because now you're kind of stopping those problems in this track. Mm-hmm. And I can attest to you that no matter what you do, there are always going to be something that somebody else will find. Like you can never make a unit so perfect to the point where no one can't find anything. And is that like a frustration that you kind of deal with? Like you've been in that unit, you walked out, you go, man, this unit looks great. And mm-hmm. then 10 minutes later, somebody comes in there and goes, what's this? Why is this out of order? Like, bro, this unit was great.
Yeah.
So, and it's always a fresh set of eyes, no matter
what. Also, piggybacking off of that statement you just made about the unit looking great when you walk out of the unit, my advice to a lot of maintenance tech,
mm-hmm.
after you finish walking the unit, right, and it looks good in your eyes, it is always good to have a second pair of eyes to come in behind you because we are all humans.
Right.
And we will miss things that sometimes it's right in front of us, but we're not seeing it, right? We're not looking at it because our mind is just focused on perfection of everything else and we're not trying mm-hmm. to go down the list to see, okay, let me look in this section first, then move over to that section, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But we just try to go all over the place and spitballing and be like, oh, this looks good. So you might have the supervisor come behind or releasing agent
mm-hmm.
who's coming to walk the unit or sometimes prep the unit for the new resident,
mm-hmm.
right, that's about to occupy that unit. And they'll be like, hey, there's a spot here, there's missing here, there's a spot. I'm like, what? How? The reason why we miss that spot is because sometimes we have a lot on our plate and we are trying to complete a huge task mm-hmm. in a small amount of time.
Right.
So we're doing the get in, get out, get in, get out. Mm-hmm. It's almost like instant gratification, right?
Right.
In, out, in, out, in, out. And you just miss stuff along the way. So sometimes it is good to just take your time, take a breather,
mm-hmm.
walk the unit, leave it, you know, and if you need to go back a second time
right.
before the day's over, you can do that. Sometimes you can go back a second time and realize, oh, I forgot to get this part. I forgot to get that part.
Right.
Also, the flip side to that is after you have a supervisor or a second pair of eyes or a third
mm-hmm.
set of eyes come and walk the unit and everybody is in unison saying, this is perfect, this is good, you would have that resident that would come in with a meticulous mind and nitpick at the minute things that are not worth nitpicking about. Sometimes that can be frustrating, you know. So before they occupy that unit, you had, let's say you had me, right? Go and do it first. Then I call you, hey, my boy, you want to come too and just walk mm-hmm. this unit just to make sure everything is good?
Yep.
And the supervisor would come after, which we do because that's how we actually walk over units after we finish doing the whole 7-day turn, right?
Mm-hmm.
Supervisor come in, walk in, okay, yeah, this is good, that's good. And we go through our checklist, make sure everything is good. And you would still have that resident that would come in and it is not perfect. And to be honest, nothing is perfect. We are all striving towards perfection, right?
Right.
So,
and then you're right about nothing is ever perfect.
Yeah.
Because what a lot of people don't understand, a lot of residents, when you move into these places,
mm-hmm.
they've been previously occupied. So our job is to kind of leave no traces of that person that was just staying in that unit. And sometimes, you know, things can be out of order a little bit. Like there could be a spot on the wall that, mm-hmm. you know, that could be like a paint chip that's very small, but with our eyes and we're in there and we're looking at these walls and sometimes they just blur together. You don't really see those little things, but having someone come in after you guys have all said in unison that this unit is great, then someone would come in to move in and be like, well, what's this? What's this? What's this? And it's like, the apartment's still functional.
Yeah.
But it's stuff that you can, that we look at and go, that's not actually too bad. But we've seen some people say they're not signing their lease if this little spot wasn't touched up. And that brings me to say another thing about how when they do move in and then after they move in and they've bumped up the walls and did mm-hmm. this, now they would expect us to come back in and do another touch up.
That's true, bro.
After they moved in. So yeah. I want to say that because I want residents to understand if you want to come in and give maintenance a hard time, they're not going to want to really do much to help you if you're asking for a favor.
Right.
Or you're asking for this. So just be mindful that, you know, these people have these guys work at your place of living. You know, we just want to say, like, you know, be mindful that, you know, even like the little things, like just know when you move out, those little things that you say are not going to be a bad thing, mm-hmm. we can dock you for those. You know, so I'm not saying we will, but, you know, if you're coming in with a mindset of like you want everything to be super perfect and you're super meticulous about this and about that, just know when you move out, it can be reciprocated on the back end. And I know some people wouldn't like that or they wouldn't like to hear that,
yeah.
but that's just what it is. So for our next segment, we're going to jump into, let's talk about, I want to ask you a few questions about like, what are the common problems that you see when we're dealing, when we're dealing with our scope of work and how maintenance guys handle things, because we were talking about the punch-ins, we're doing the move-ins and move-out mm-hmm. on our daily schedule. What about when you get to your work order section? What are some of the things that you actually deal with when it comes to doing these work orders? And what are some of the things that are always like the common problem that happens in these work orders when residents are putting them in?
The common problems. this is funny. I had a work order of a resident, you know, say, hey, my stove knob broke. Please come and fix it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, my stove knob broke. Please come and fix it. So you're trying to tell me that the stove knob just got upset and try to remove itself from the range because of how you were treating it, right? And a lot of times with residents, not all residents, but some residents, right? I'm like, hey, it's okay. We all break stuff, mm-hmm. you know? But when you put in the work ticket and you want us to come and, you know, service your request, just be specific about it.
Oh.
And just be honest about it, you know? We're not going to penalize you.
Correct.
Just be honest. Hey, I was trying to use my range and it broke. The knob broke. I don't know if I put a lot of force on it or whatnot.
Or I didn't push it in
yeah.
and turn it like you normally would do on yeah. a range knob.
Yeah. So I looked at the ticket and I laughed, right? Because I'm like, you know what? They could just be honest and say, hey, broke it. You know, we're going to fix it. Mm-hmm. And if we have a spare one, we're going to replace it for sure. You know, but just have a lot of specificity when you are submitting your request.
And what is, when you say specificity, go a little deeper. What, besides the range knob, on another situation that you can think of uh-huh. when a resident puts a work ticket in, whether it was, let's say, my outlet isn't working, uh-huh. or when you say being using specificity uh-huh. or being specific, other words, uh-huh. how detailed you think should they be? How detailed they should go of letting you know, like, the exact problem, where it's at, and what it's done. Like, how should they explain it on that work ticket?
Okay, for example, actually, we both had this work order before. A resident said, fridge not working. mm-hmm. without putting any detail of why it's not working, right? Okay. And then we went over there, looked at the fridge. Oh, it's not plugged in. Mm-hmm. Plug it in, you know. Just say, hey, I try to use my fridge and I open the doors and usually the fridge have a light in, on the inside and the it's running, whatever it is. There is no display on the door that right. indicates it's working mm-hmm. or there's no lights on the inside that indicates it's working or the temperature in the freezer is not cold as expected or whatnot. Just say something so when we are coming over to fix the problem that you have, we would already have an idea of what mm-hmm. you're talking about because of how specific you are when you submit the request.
Right.
You don't have to give us like 10 paragraphs.
No.
One sentence is fine.
One sentence.
Because on our way over there, we can brainstorm and try to diagnose the problem before we even attempt to
yeah.
fix the problem. So when we get there, we can be like, okay, we brainstorm and we think about this. Let mm-hmm. us start on this first. Okay, that didn't work. Right. What about the second thing that we talk about? Let us try this. Oh, that's the problem, you know? Fix the issue mm-hmm. faster because you were specific in your request. You give some context of why this thing is not working.
Right.
So we have a better chance of finding a solution.
Right.
Versus you just put fridge not working.
That can be anything.
And then
we have to
figure it out. Yeah.
It's like, what do you mean fridge not working? You're right. Is it not cooling? Does it not have power? Is it not making ice?
Right.
You know, is the water outlet not working? Is it yeah. even getting water? You know, yeah. Just be specific on what you want to say that's done
uh-huh.
as far as like what's going on with it. Be specific. Just say, hey, it's not working because I'm not getting any water. The ice uh-huh. chute isn't dropping any ice or it's not making ice. Just give a nice little quick sentence detail
yeah.
what's going on so that way. You're right. We can get in our minds before we even get there. Okay, it can be this, it can be that. We've already started to mentally diagnose the issue mm-hmm. before we get there. And that usually helps us diagnose it a little faster and helps yeah. us, you know, get in and get out and fix your fridge or whatever the problem is a lot sooner. That way we can get on about our day and go on to the next work ticket.
So with that said, right, we talk about some of the things that we experience with our work tickets, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is one of the most common problems we see during our day-to-day activities?
The most common problem?
Yeah.
When you say most common, I don't know what you mean by
problem,
you know, most of the time it's usually like light bulbs out. Those are the fastest
yeah,
things
yeah.
that go out.
Yeah.
But as far as like, you know, the work that happens, most of the time it's garbage disposals.
Facts.
We get a lot of garbage disposal because Facts. Either somebody's thrown a bunch of food down it and then now it's backing up or it's not working. That's one of them. We also get a lot of electrical issues, like an mm-hmm. outlet ain't working or just a breaker just tripped out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. Those are some of the things that we get, but most of the time it's usually garbage disposal or light bulbs.
Yeah.
Those are like the most common issues that happen on a daily basis, like any work order or a toilet. People love to clog up their toilets for sure, and it happens. So those three things are usually like on the work order list of day in, day out. You're going to get one of those every single day. You may get two or three or four of those every single day. That's just the most common problem that I see.
Yeah. I definitely agree with you because the most common problems that we experience
mm-hmm.
on a daily basis are some of the most simple things.
Yeah.
It's never, hey, my unit is not working and it hasn't been working for 2 weeks or whatever, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? It's always, hey, my light bulb in my bathroom is out,
yeah.
or my light bulb in my kitchen is out, or the light bulb in the microwave is out,
mm-hmm.
or hey, I try to flush the toilet 10 times and nothing is happening.
Right.
The most common problems that we experience are always the simple things. It's nothing.
Yeah.
It's nothing that is too far to reach or mm-hmm. is too big to handle. You know.
Okay. So as we're getting into that, let me ask you another thing. Mm-hmm. What's something that people think we do, but we actually don't?
Ooh, that's a good question. That is a good question. Can you say it again for the people in the back?
All right. What's some of the things that people think we do that we actually don't as maintenance techs?
What they think we do. Is this from a resident's perspective or the front office perspective?
Two-part question.
Because
There is a two-part question when it comes to asking this.
Yeah.
But right now we're going to start off from a resident's perspective. What does the residents think that we do, but we actually don't? It's not even in our job scope of work.
Wow. It's a lot. And I'm trying to pull one thing. And I'm having a mind blank right now.
Don't worry about it. I can tell you one thing.
Yeah. You start and I'll jump in. Gather my thoughts.
Some things that they think that we do that we actually don't. Mm-hmm. They think we're like their personal maintenance people. When I say personal maintenance guy, is they'll call you up to if you give them your personal number, because it does mm-hmm. happen. Mm-hmm. They will want you to help pull something out of the car, or they would want you to run up to their apartment to let their dog out of the closet or the bathroom because they left it in there. Or
right,
they want you to do like these things that are, you know, personal. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? It's not like that it's part of the scope of work that you're asking a maintenance guy to come and handle like a broken issue or a problem you're having, but they'll ask you to do certain things like, hey, can you hang my TV for me when I move in? Or I'm moving in and you're there fixing an issue that they had, and they say, hey, you think you can hang my TV for me? Or you think that, can you come in and touch up my apartment for me?
Yeah.
A lot of those things that we can't do without a work order, for one. And then for two, like, there's some things that we just can't do, period. Like, we can't really, like, as far as like a standpoint of just covering our behind and not getting any like lawsuits or anything, mm-hmm. we can't really handle a resident's personal belongings. So that's what I would say. Like, that's one of the things that they think we do, but we don't do.
And also to add to what you said mm-hmm. about, let's say, hanging the TV, right?
Yeah.
I've had a work order where a resident that just moved in put in a request for maintenance to go to their house and hang their TV.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, nah, you're not going to try to get over on me. You know, like, no. First of all, anything that you want me to do in your apartment,
mm-hmm.
it has to be documented.
Right.
In the form of a work ticket, right?
Right.
You have a request, it has to be documented. And the request that you put in, it have to align with the job description.
Agree.
That is applicable to me.
Mm-hmm.
If it's outside of the scope of what I do, then I can't do it.
Right.
So at that point, you are blatantly trying to avoid paying someone to come in and hang your TV for you. You just want to see if you can get it done for free by maintenance, because maintenance are not only maintenance tech. Maintenance are bellboys. Come do this. Come change my tire. My car's not starting. Can you start my car for me? Can you help me figure it out? We've had so much crazy stories about requests that residents access, knowing that we cannot do it, but they still do it anyway, just to see if we're gonna cave and say, let's do it. Mm-hmm. You know, anything for the residents, but at the same time, if we only attempt to do those things that we're not supposed to do, then our career is in jeopardy.
Yeah.
You know, it could cost us our job. So be mindful, and this is for all maintenance technicians, be mindful mm-hmm. of those requests that you receive from residents, okay? I know a lot of techs that exchange their numbers with residents and stuff, right? Because Like I said in the first episode, the relationship between maintenance tech and residents, sometimes it becomes a friendly thing.
Yeah.
And they would hang out outside of work or whatnot, right? But which some people say it's not okay. I'm like, it's okay.
Yeah.
The reason why I say it's okay is because we are all the sum of the decisions we make, right? And if that's a decision that you make and that's something that you want to do and you feel comfortable doing, it is okay. The only thing I would say about that, just draw the line.
Absolutely.
Draw the line.
Draw it.
Not because we are friends. That means you can call me and I must always be available to your demands.
Well, because this is the thing where it kind of like the line gets blurred.
Yeah.
Because now that you've become great friends with the resident, mm-hmm. you've given them your number and you kind of like, well, you know, hang out, not saying hang out as far as like going to a movie or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like you would probably see that person when you're out at like a bar or something like that.
Yeah, yeah,
y'all
yeah.
kind of just chat it up. Or even just at resident events, y'all would chat it up.
Right.
And when you say draw the line, do you notice that sometimes like that's where they feel that they can ask you for anything because now y'all have that camaraderie and y'all are, you know, friends now, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you draw the line, like as far as like saying, hey, I gave you my phone number. If you have any questions and I can help you with, or I gave you my phone number because like we're getting becoming closer friends, and it's a more of a friendship base, or
mm-hmm.
is it more of a now I have my personal maintenance guy? Because that to me, in my opinion, I think that's kind of how they see you. They still see you as a person. They still mm-hmm. see you. They can probably see you as a friend, but they still have that blinder on that you're still the maintenance guy. So I can still call you for anything.
Yeah. That is true. They see it. They definitely see it that way, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they will continue to see it that way unless you set the boundary, set the rules. Yes, we're friends, but when it comes to my job is my job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't get the two mixed up together, right? Have a separation.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a request that you need and you're like, oh, that's my friend. Hey, Mike, can you do this thing for me real quick? It's just going to take 2 seconds. And I can say yes to that thing and I can go and attempt to fix it and be like, hey, I'll come back tomorrow because
mm-hmm.
I'm having some difficulties right now, right?
Right.
That same person that you laugh and joke with, and not everybody's like this, okay? But that same person that you laugh and joke with
mm-hmm.
could be the same person that called the office the following day because when they wake up in the morning and they say, hey, can you come over and fix this thing for me now before you start your day? And you happen to say no,
mm-hmm.
they can call the office and ruin mm-hmm. your career because you decide to do something without separating the friendship from the work relationship, right?
Right.
So you have to separate the two. You have to draw the line.
No, you're absolutely correct.
I have given residents my phone number too, right?
Mm-hmm.
And at previous properties that I've worked at, and we are still good friends, we get along, but whenever they have something to do, and if they ask me, hey, can you do this real quick? I would still say, hey, can you just put in a work ticket so it can be in the system? I always do that to protect myself.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever they ask, you know, hey, can you just come and replace this light bulb for me real quick? I'm trying to, oh, can you just put in the work ticket and I'll go get the stuff for you and I'll get the ticket. Okay, fine.
Right.
Because there's a paper trail.
That's true.
And I am saving myself from you potentially accusing me of doing something that I didn't do.
Always have a reason to be there, basically.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you can get thrown under the bus. And
you
that can happen. And we've seen it happen. So, all of this is just talking from experience because we know.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
You can be buddy-buddy with a resident one day, and then when they have their grievances with the office staff or somebody ticked them off or they couldn't get something done in time, they will throw you under the bus.
Mm-hmm.
That it just happens. And that can put you in a bad situation. So always just protect yourself.
Yeah.
And draw that line so that way they know where you stand and they know where they stand and keep it separated. So do you have any other things you want to say on this?
I just have one more thing to say about that too.
Okay.
It's good to keep the separation between work and, let's say, work life and personal life, right? Mm-hmm. It's good to keep the separation because also you can lose your job if they call the office and you know, try to cast disparagement on your name, right? And you can lose your job because the complaints that they give, and the complaints can be false complaints, right?
Right.
Some can be true, depending on the person, right? Depending on the technician and the person, the relationship, it can be more than friendship. Mm-hmm. And now it hit to a point where, okay, I'm going to come for everything you have. That's mm-hmm. why it's good to be careful. It's good to draw that line, right?
Right.
So the complaints can turn into demands.
Mm-hmm.
And demands will be like, I need this concession and that concession. And because of the story they tell, the office, the front office, have to take what they say seriously.
Absolutely.
Because it can put the entire company in jeopardy.
And that's a big lawsuit.
And that's a big lawsuit just because of a decision that you made as a technician. You could have avoided the situation by drawing the line to say, hey, keep putting a work ticket because, you know, it is required for my job for us to have work tickets so everything can be the system so they can see what we do on a daily basis, right?
Right.
How we handle work orders, how we complete it, all of that stuff. Just covering the basis to protect yourself, right? To protect right. us and to protect you as the resident.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, everything can go in shambles because of a small decision that you made. Oh yeah, I got you. And I got you can turn into what have I done?
That's a big problem.
Yeah, so you just gotta be careful and you just gotta have discernment, you know. Even residents that are genuinely nice and have a good heart, it is still required to draw the line. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's still required to draw that line, set the boundaries. Not even the boundaries, set the expectations, because they definitely have expectations. Oh, now we're cool. Here's what I expect.
Right.
And some technicians can adhere to the demands of their resident because now they're cool.
Mm-hmm.
But now you open up a can of worms because they're gonna tell their neighbor and the neighbor gonna tell the next neighbor. And before you know it, you are everybody's personal maintenance. Everybody's, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
They hit that bell. Bing! Hey, how may I help you? I am here. What mm-hmm. do you need?
And that's usually how it goes.
Yeah.
You become a personal maintenance guy to
mm-hmm.
whomever
yeah.
that you decide to have that interaction with.
Yeah.
Excuse me. All right. So pretty much like what we're talking about, that kind of like segued into our next section that we're going to talk about, beyond the toolbox,
mm-hmm.
Where we're talking about like the emotional labor side of it that we're going to get into. And
mm-hmm.
Also like that went along with the resident interaction.
Yeah.
Let's get into like the emotional side of how you feel on a day-to-day in maintenance and how certain things can kind of nick at you, you know, and kind of put you out of a different space. And how do you come out of that and get into a better space to continue to enjoy what you're doing without getting irritated so much?
For me, I think that would be what I mentioned in the first episode, camaraderie.
Mm-hmm.
Camaraderie. A lot of times the typical work day would go by fast and it would go by smooth. It all depends on the team you have.
Right.
Because, I mean, we all have bad days. Mm-hmm. We all come into work and our emotions could be on a high note.
Right.
Or sometimes it can be a roller coaster.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the team that you have, you don't have to tell them what you're going through, but because of how they treat you when they greet you, that can change the dynamics of everything.
And whenever I come in and I feel like I'm in a terrible mood, mm-hmm. and I go through and I'm just like in a slump and like, man, this is getting the same thing day in and day out. And you're right. The camaraderie is what kind of pulls me out of it. Mm-hmm. When I know that, like, if I'm not feeling like 110%, that my coworker, you can attest to that, like, mm-hmm. kind of look out for each other. Yeah. And usually that's what maintenance guys do. They know that they're looking out for each other and they kind of pull each other's weight when the other person isn't feeling up to par. Yeah. So doing those things is like, if I'm not at 110%, then usually like you would step in and be like, all right, just take care of this and do this. And I'll take care of this. You'll handle like the larger portion of it. And it's kind of vice versa, how we kind of, you know, go off of each other. Mm-hmm. And that's the type of camaraderie that I think that most places should have, especially like between maintenance alone. Mm-hmm. And even just bringing like the office staff into that where they can see that, you know, something's going on, you're not feeling up to par, that they can be there to kind of give you that words of encouragement to kind of let you know, like, you know, you're doing good. Keep up the good work and, you know, don't go too hard today. Don't overexhaust yourself, because usually in maintenance, that's what you do. You overexhaust yourself on a daily because you're just getting pulled in multiple directions at once. And you're also dealing with other things behind the scene, mm-hmm. with your personal life.
Right.
And those things can kind of pull you out of what you're doing at work and kind of stop you. So I would say you're right. Having a good team around you that can kind of feel the temperature of you and know how to handle the situation, I think that helps. And it helps you, you know, come in the next day and be like, all right, guys, I'm back. I'm good.
Yeah.
Because let's face it, no one's going to be 100% every single day.
No.
Like, it's impossible. Yeah, and I've even tried to challenge myself. It was like, you know, every single day this month, I'm going to come in and give it my all. And then you realize you've been running around and running around and running around, that by the time like the week ends, you're like, I am burnt out. I've done everything in my possible power to do to run around this place and get everything done at once. And you're totally burnt out. So I just want to let everyone know out there that, you know, it's okay to feel burnt out. It's okay to feel mm-hmm. Not 100% because we're not robots. We're all human and we kind of need time to kind of reset. So, and that's good to have a crew that you can lean on to kind of help you maneuver throughout that day to day for the next day and the next day and the next day.
That's facts, man. Like you said, sometimes you can have a day that is not so great. And I can come in and be like, hey, no, I got you. We got this, or vice versa, right? Mm-hmm. Which leads to the importance of communication.
That was the next part, how important communication was.
Communication is so important, man. And the reason why you have, let us say, I'm looking out for you, you look out for me, or we look out for the leasing agents, they look out for us. Mm-hmm. The reason why that is possible is because of the importance of communication. Communication is key. It is the foundation.
That is true.
That will build a successful team or a successful company, or it can break that team or that company. Mm-hmm. Or it can also build or break the individual. Communication is key, bro.
Good point. You've hit the nail on the head when it comes to communication. Mm-hmm. I don't think I have anything to add. So if communication is key, right? Mm-hmm. And you're doing your day-to-day and you're doing everything, why respect and recognition matter so much in this industry? Because like you said, communication is how you express like how you feel about certain issues and how you feel about your team around you and what's going on, and being able to take that direction and go from, you know, your property manager communicating with what's going on with that week or that day, or who's coming, who's coming on property. And you're doing all of these things, and to double back on communication, like, why do you think that, you know, that recognition matters? Why is it important to hear that? Or is it even a good thing to even hear that recognition is coming from somebody that is your peer and they respect what you do? How does getting recognition play a part in your day to day and how you go about doing things in a timely manner, or how you handle certain situations?
Recognition to me is like a dose of motivation to keep you going, because a lot of us as maintenance tech, we come into work, right? And the daily task of a tech is not easy, because some days we have easy days, but most days we are on our feet from the time we clock in to the time we clock out, right? Yeah. Sometimes we don't even have time to take a lunch because the task of the day is so
demanding,
and it's and the list is long and it's so big. You are trying to do everything in your power to get it done, right? Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if you're a maintenance tech, if you're a regional property manager, leasing agent, property manager, supervisor. Yep. We are all working for the common goal to fulfill the wishes that the company sets. Mm-hmm. Whatever the company require, our duty as employee is to meet those expectations,
right?
And sometimes exceed those expectations, right? And in order for you to meet those expectations and then exceed it is by hard work. And if you're coming in every day and you come into work and you give in 100%, 120%, you should be recognized for it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So recognition plays a very important role in how you go about doing your job.
Right.
Because you can be working so hard and doing everything that you can in your power to make sure the engine is well oiled, which is the apartment industry, right? And the residents are happy. You are closing out work tickets in a timely manner, completing move-ins and move-out inspections in a timely manner. Uh-huh. You know, the grounds are always clean, and you're working so hard and you're not being recognized for it. At some point in your life, you will be disappointed, and you will have, in some cases, you will have resentment towards the company, because you're like, hey, I'm coming in here every day, giving my all, giving 100%, and I'm not even being recognized for it. Yeah. I'm not even being respected for what I do and what I bring to the table.
Right.
I am just here as a number or as a wallflower. Just come in here, do what you have to do, go home. Mm-hmm.
So With that being said, about the recognition mattering, and of course we talked about in the first episode about, like, you know, the words do matter, but also matters when you show it.
Yes.
Versus the words can go a long way, can give you that encouragement for your day to day, but how important is it to show it? Because I know we touched on it in the first episode, and we went a little bit deep into it, but do you want to go a little bit more into it about why it's important that they show the recognition, about why it matters?
We can. One thing I would say is great employees are being recognized by great leaders, because those leaders see how valuable that employee is to them and to their company and to the goals that they have for that company. And when you see how valuable of an asset that you have, you should do everything in your power to keep that asset. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
Yeah, you should. You definitely should. In our industry, I believe that all maintenance techs are very valuable to the company, because without maintenance tech, the industry wouldn't survive.
That's true.
It wouldn't survive. You know, you can use the front office, the leasing agents to go out there, bring in business by having new residents come and occupy the vacant units that we have.
Mm-hmm.
The occupancy percentage could be at an all-time high, but if there is no techs, it is over.
That's
going to come crumbling down, right?
Right.
So technicians should be respected, mm-hmm. because we are very valuable to the company. We are the main components in the engine that keeps the engine running.
Right.
You know, so once you realize how valuable your team is, you will do everything in your power to keep them, not only to keep them as long-term employees, but also to maintain the high performance that they give you. You have to treat them not just by saying, I appreciate you, you've done so much, thank you for everything you do.
Mm-hmm.
Here are some more work tickets.
Right.
Go finish this.
And I was about to say that. it can get a little less emotional,
yeah.
I would say.
Yeah.
Whenever you're hearing constantly, thank you, you're doing a great job, you're doing this, and at some point it gets to the point where, like, is this person just saying this just to say it, or do they actually mean it?
Mm-hmm.
And then if you actually mean it, like, what are we doing to show it?
Right.
So I definitely understood when you talked about it. I'm like, okay, I get what you mean. So I would hope that, you know, you as a person on your team doesn't just say it just to say it.
Right.
Like,
right.
Like, I mean, even for the little things that you've done, like, don't just say it just to say it. Like, we hear it and we understand it, and not to be cocky, but we know it.
That's true.
And we know how important our job is, and that's why we take our jobs very serious.
Yeah.
Just don't say it just to say it. Like, mm-hmm. actually mean it and actually show it.
Yeah.
That's all we're asking. Don't just say it just to say it. And then from there, I wanna talk about, like, about educating others of, like, what we actually do. And when I say what we actually do, I mean, like, on the job, like, we have our day-to-day that we do, from trash to work orders to move in, move out. But what are some of the things that we do beyond that on the job that we're actually handling in between time? Like, I won't say in between time, but in between those things, because we have certain roles that we have to do for our property to be up to par, and how to keep everything on schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some of the things that we have to schedule to get done on a mass level? Some of the vendors that we have to come in and schedule to get things done on a mass level to keep that property up and running. What are some of the other things that people don't really know that we actually do, but those are some of the things that we do to keep the property running and smoothly.
Yeah. Outside of the annual filter inspection,
mm-hmm.
where we change out the filters, you have to have a fire inspection.
Yeah.
For them to come out, test all the alarms in the building, smoke alarms, mm-hmm. make sure everything is good, just to prevent a potential fire from happening, right? Because at the end of the day, let's say somebody overcooked a bacon and it's smoked, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the alarm goes off, but it is not connected to anything where we can see that problem, or the fire department can see that problem,
right?
Then we have a problem. So we are always in communication with the fire inspection company.
Yeah.
With the water inspection company.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with the electricity company, making sure that everything is good, everything is great, and we are doing everything that we can to prevent a potential issue from happening.
Mm-hmm.
also you mentioned earlier about the education part.
Yeah.
The education part for me is educating our residents while we are performing the request that they have, that they requested on their work ticket.
Right.
So one thing that I do, and I know that you do as well, whenever we go to a resident's home, and let's say they have a problem with their range, they can't use the oven because the keypad is locked and they don't know how to unlock it or how to reset it or whatnot. Whenever we go to the unit, we would say, oh, this is how you do this, you know, kind of walk them through the steps that we're doing. So,
yeah.
So they can now have a tool in their toolbox. Mm-hmm. So if that happens again, they know what to do because we educate them on how it's done and how to prevent it from happening again.
Yeah.
So the education for me is whatever request that resident have, and you go to their unit to service that ticket. It's good to educate them to not only let them know what you were doing, but let them know the process. So at least they have an understanding of how that thing works.
So what did you say that, excuse me, what did you say that ties into the on-call system? When residents call to say like they don't have any power in their unit or they're having an issue that you know for a fact you can walk them through it all over the phone. Mm-hmm. Talk about how important it is to be able, like it goes back to communication, being able to convey those steps to the residents and how important it is to be able to talk to them over the phone and kind of guide them step by step on how to do certain things without you having to come out of your bed at 12 o'clock at night to do some of the smallest things.
Yeah. Some of the smallest things, like you say, would be my outlet is not working. The light in my room is not coming on. Mm-hmm. Before you come out of your bed to go to service that request, it's good to ask the resident, hey, do you know where your breaker panel is?
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you know how to turn off a breaker, turn it back on?
Right.
Which is called resetting, right? Some residents don't know, and it is good to teach them and walk them through on how to do it and how to get it done, because it is simple. Now, if we know that the thing that they're about to do is complicated, then no, you have to come out, right?
Right.
With that, I think, I don't know if any apartment, because different apartment complex operate differently, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think all apartment complex, what they should do is they should send out an email blast, you know, say like, hey, for maintenance appreciation week or whatever, let us send you a list of things on a list of basic preventive maintenance that you can do.
Yeah.
This is what a breaker looks like.
Mm-hmm.
If the power is out here, you can go check the breaker, right? Like if your light is out, the first thing you do, check the switch. Mm-hmm. Make sure the switch is working. Just make sure there's power. And if that is not the solution, unscrew the bulb. Make sure the filament is still intact. Then you know, hey, I have to change this light bulb.
Mm-hmm.
If that's not the case, go to your breaker box. It should look like this.
Yeah.
And on the side of the breaker box, inside of the door, there's a label for everything in your house, including appliance and electrical. It's labeled and it is registered to a number.
Right.
So, hey, the lights in my bathroom is not working. Go to breaker number two.
Yeah.
Breaker number two says bathroom.
Right.
Turn it on, turn it back off. And if that solves the problem, great. If it doesn't solve the problem,
then
you call a maintenance technician to come out and to further assess the situation and really diagnose it and get to the solution of it, right?
Right.
So I truly believe that every apartment complex or company, I should say, they should implement basic preventative maintenance to residents. And honestly, it's not to have maintenance shy away from what they do, but also educating residents and giving them the tools that they need,
mm-hmm.
some of these residents would move on to buy their own homes.
Yeah.
So when you move on to buy your own home, the thing that you learn, you can take it with you and it can save you money.
That
also,
is true.
If you don't want to do the work in your own home, at least you know how it's done. So when you hire someone to come out, they don't upcharge them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they think in their mind that you don't know what you're doing.
Correct.
So it is good to teach residents basic maintenance. And I always say the apartment industry is a training grounds for home ownership.
Oh, absolutely.
It is definitely a training ground for home ownership.
That was like one of the things that I say that most properties should do. They should have like a booklet that explains like some of these things that if whatever they're dealing with, like a garbage disposal, you know, if your garbage disposal isn't working when you push the button on top, there's a little red reset button on the bottom. That can help you save a lot of time and a lot of energy, not call no one out. Also, with those garbage disposals, if you look, sometimes they most complexes leave like the garbage disposal wrench on the top of the disposal, like between the
right
the grooves of it.
Mm-hmm.
They can grab that wrench, and if it's humming, they can shut it off and kind of just, you know, turn that thing and loosen it up and then start it, and then it'll start back.
Yep.
So I wish that most properties would give a booklet that can explain these little things to kind of help the resident in the instant, give them instant help immediately, so that way they don't have to sit and wait for somebody to get there, because sometimes we can't get to the next day, or depending if there's something pressing, we can't get to it till the day after that. So if our day is long and we have like other pressing matters in front of it, sometimes we can't get to you within 24 to 48 hours. Sometimes it'll be 72.
Yeah.
So
depending on the severity of the
problem. Yeah. Yep. So that's what I think. I think we should start implementing those books or little pages that, you know, need to know basis, and give that to every resident. And that helps us, and it also helps you as well.
Yeah.
So that way you don't have to sit around and wait, because you could have family there. Exactly. You could need something that can only take a quick second. Because I remember I walked into an apartment and done a single thing that was just easy to do. And they were like, oh, that's it? I'm like, yeah. You know, and now you've gotten your time and a half to go out there and replace something that took.
That's my new
10 seconds.
Yeah.
And now you're back in your car and you're driving home again.
Yeah.
So, and that would help. That would help save time. That would help save money. That would help just save everything.
It sure would. It sure would. And I'll just add to that. Maintenance technicians should definitely, especially if the resident is home while they're performing the work ticket.
Yeah.
It is good for them to include the resident include them in what they're doing, right? Say you have a fridge filter that needs to be changed. Yeah. Like, yeah, okay, here we go. Some complex provide the filters for the resident, and other complex make the resident buy their own filter and replace it, right?
That's true.
So for those people who have to purchase their own filter,
right?
Let me show you how it's done, right?
Mm-hmm.
The filter is located here. This is how you take it out. This is how you change it.
Right.
This is how you reset the filter. And this is how much water that you should let out of the filter to get all of the stuff out of it before it's safe to drink it or safe to consume it, right?
Right.
That is things that a lot of maintenance tech should do.
That is a good.
Whenever you do in your work order and the resident is at home, make it engaging.
Mm-hmm.
Let them know the issue that you have.
Right.
And just walk them through the steps. Have them look at you while you're doing it. It doesn't mean that everything that you do, they have to do it on their own. But at the same time, you're just educating them. And it helps you as a maintenance tech, because let's say if something else happens, because you keep giving them these nuggets and giving them tools in their toolbox of how everything works, it would make the residents less frustrating when they're putting in the request. Because sometimes they can put in the request and they can call the front office and they can give the leasing agents and the property manager a hard time.
Right.
And sometimes they would do it just out of malice. And other times it could be prevented if you show them the steps on how you perform the work order whenever you get to their homes. So a lot of stuff can be prevented. Mm-hmm. It just depends on the approach that you want to take to it.
Okay. And I know before earlier you got into like why maintenance techs are important. Mm-hmm. But what is one thing you would say to the owners that undervalue techs?
One thing. The only thing I can think about right now is what I mentioned in the previous episode. Overworked, underpaid. Sometimes we do work tickets. We do a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. And after we finish doing those things, they want us to do stuff that is outside the scope of our job description, right?
Right.
Which would be, hey, there's a list of things that we need to get, but we don't have receipts for it. Can you go and itemize these things and create a ledger mm-hmm. of what it costs? And you spend all these hours doing clerical stuff that is not a part of your job description.
Yeah.
And out of the goodness of your heart, you do it, right?
Right.
So
then in that case, like we did get into like what the residents expect us to do, but we don't do. And we never got into that section of what does the front office wants us to do that is typically not in our scope of work. And one of them was the clerical work. Mm-hmm. The other ones are, in my opinion, I'm just going to be real about it. We are here to keep the ground clean. We're here to pick up trash. One of my gripes is picking up dog feces.
Yeah.
Like, I to me, it's disgusting. It's unsanitary. And I don't have a dog. And it's the reason I don't have a dog because I don't want to have to pick up behind my dog.
You don't want that responsibility.
Yeah. I don't want that responsibility. Yeah. And I've had dogs before and I've been there and I've said, you know what? It's not for me.
Yeah.
And I wish that properties would kind of hammer down whenever they see that residents are not picking up after their pets or they don't know who did it. I'm a big fan of finding everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Hit them with a $30 fine or something for hazard cleanup because that's what it is. It's feces. Mm-hmm. It's a hazard cleanup. And that's one of the things that I kind of draw the line at as far as my scope of work.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of them. And there's many things. I mean, we can probably rang down a whole list of things because I know and if you want to get into other stuff as far as that, I work for companies where we would go in and we would have to move the models, take the furniture out, take it to another unit, and then rehang all the photos and all the other stuff that they've hung up in there. And sometimes we have to kind of switch it up because it doesn't fit because it wasn't made for that type of unit.
So basically they're saying, hey, we know that you are techs, but today you guys will be movers and interior designer.
Yeah. So I mean that list is long, man. It's so much stuff that we get asked on a daily that doesn't really define what it looks like as a maintenance technician that, you know, goes on his day to day. Like there's always something and it does and every day it's gonna be something. It's never a day that doesn't go by that you're never not asked to do something that really is out of your scope of work. But sometimes you just do it because, you know, you're part of the team and you want to help and you just want to help. But I wish they would understand that, you know, I am doing this that's out of my scope of work. And, you know, overworked and underpaid.
That is true.
If you're gonna pay me to do stuff out of my scope of work, I'd gladly do it. Absolutely. But if you're not gonna pay me, don't ask.
Yeah. And to add to that, we will have to dedicate an episode talking about why we think that maintenance should have an increase of pay.
Yeah.
Well, our fair wages.
Mm-hmm.
Why they should have free housing. Free housing.
Yeah.
You know, the percentage.
What's the average percentage? I know you're about to say it, but what's the percentage that most of these companies offer in compared to the wages? How does that level out?
I'll just touch briefly on it. Let us say a maintenance tech gets paid, let's say $18 an hour,
mm-hmm.
right? $18 an hour, by the time he gets his paycheck and all of the taxes that he has to pay, he's practically working for $10 an hour, $11 mm-hmm. an hour.
Yeah.
On top of that, some techs have their own homes.
Mm-hmm.
Some techs don't own their own homes, so they'll definitely have to rent. The company offers a 20% discount. 20% discount, it sounds great, but if you do the math of what the maintenance tech is taking home after taxes,
mm-hmm.
it is barely touching the surface.
I agree.
So the 20%, it sounds good, it sounds amazing, but when you do the math,
mm-hmm.
because after you pay your utilities and all of your bills and stuff, and you pay rent, you barely have money left over to feed yourself.
Yeah.
If you want to go out and treat yourself to a meal, you have to think about it very hard because you're working so hard, getting paid this much,
mm-hmm.
and it is not enough. It is not enough.
I agree.
And the value that you bring to the company as a maintenance tech and the job that we do, saving a lot of these apartment complex a lot of money by preventing the purchase of new appliances, of new HVAC systems.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times we go above and beyond to make sure that we fix every problem that comes our way.
Yeah.
Even though some of those problems are beyond our control at the time, we still find a way to mm-hmm. get in the way and make a way for that thing to work, and yeah. it saves that company money.
Yeah.
There's so many times that we've done so many stuff to save the company money from spending $900 to buy a new range or $700 and something to buy a new washing machine or a new dryer.
Mm-hmm.
Because we say, hey, let us take this dryer completely apart and let us ohm out everything and let us dot all of our I's, cross our T's,
right.
leave no stone unturned.
Mm-hmm.
We go the extra mile to make sure that we perform our job at a high level. At the same time, when we go above and beyond, it is adding to our toolbox and it's making us more valuable.
Yep.
Because now we have more knowledge.
That's
true. We are more knowledgeable in something that we had basic knowledge. Now we have extensive knowledge. And if you do the math to see how much we actually save the company from what we do, and how we go above and beyond to make sure that the bottom line is solid.
Mm-hmm.
Techs deserve, with that, they deserve free housing.
Yeah.
They deserve free housing.
Tech supervisors.
Especially supervisors too. Supervisors deserve fair wages, man. A supervisor should be making between $90,000 and $100,000 a year. Easy.
Yeah.
A maintenance technician should be making between 60,000 and 70,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly,
because the value that they bring and how much of an important asset that they are to that company. And honestly, a lot of the owners know.
Oh, yeah, know.
They know how valuable we are as technicians.
They know.
And in order for you to get what you want, sometimes you have to look in the mirror and realize how valuable you are to you.
Right.
If you don't realize the how valuable you are and recognize it, then they wouldn't tell you.
Mm-hmm.
The owners won't tell you. The property managers won't tell you. Nobody will tell you.
So I know. Like this opens a whole can of worms. When I say it's gonna make me want to go deeper into it, and I kind of want to save that for another episode.
Yeah, we should.
I really do. But I'm just gonna ask you one question. It's a yes or a no. You don't have to go deep into it.
Yeah,
but should a maintenance supervisor be getting paid the same as a property manager?
Yes.
We'll say that for the next episode. We'll go deep into it.
Yeah.
And then 100%. We'll go from there.
Yeah.
So now that we've gotten everything, do you have any final takeaways as far as like when we talk about like what the job is, entails for a maintenance technician, what they are expected to do. They went above and beyond to do stuff for residents, drawing the line between what you can do and what you can't do, and how residents should respond to mm-hmm. using you as your own personal maintenance tech.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any recap that you want to talk about that you feel that we missed, or anything you want to say to the audience?
The only thing I would say is that we all should be accountable. We should all hold ourselves accountable. And you touched on the topic of people who have pets
mm-hmm.
and they would let their pets, you know, do their thing and then just walk away and leave it there because, oh, we have maintenance tech that clean the grounds.
Mm-hmm.
But maintenance techs are not pooper scoopers.
Yeah. Absolutely not.
So you have to be accountable and responsible, because you have a pet. That's a responsibility that you choose to take.
Mm-hmm.
So in order for you to fulfill that new responsibility, you have to be accountable. If your dog handles his business, clean up after your pet, curb your pet, because you're helping the amenity to maintain its prestige,
right?
It's everybody else that lives there too.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody is playing their part in keeping up with the aesthetic of the company, the cleanliness of the grounds. You know, it's everybody have to work together. So it's not just the responsibility of a maintenance tech to make sure the ground is clean and all these things are in order.
Mm-hmm.
It's also the resident's responsibility to make sure that those things stay in order.
Right.
Because that is your dwelling place.
And you should have a lot of respect for where you live, and you should respect mm-hmm. where you live. Nobody wants to see a lot of trash when they walk out of their apartment or see empty bottles in the stairwell or empty bottles in the hallway.
Yeah.
You're right. I would agree with you when we talk about having accountability. I wish that more residents would, you know, take that role to say, I'm not gonna just clean out my car in the parking deck and then drive off. I'm gonna actually put it in a bag and I'm gonna take it to the trash chute and drop it down the trash chute, or I'm going to take it to my apartment and throw it away, or find mm-hmm. the nearest trash can. I think that will help keep the place looking great. It'll keep the morale up. It'll keep the residents more enjoyed about where they stay and feel good about where they stay.
Yeah.
So you're right. I think that everyone should be more accountable about how they keep the building looking. Because it's not just up to us to get to keep the building in prestige look, but it's also up to the residents as well to do the same thing, to love where they stay and want to take care of where they stay and not just trash it and go crazy with it.
Yeah, let's all do this together, because we are all in this together.
Yeah, absolutely.
I hope this episode was engaging, and I hope it was an educational moment for you guys.
And I just want to thank you guys again for coming to see us in episode 2. We are more than just a wrench. So I'd like you guys to follow, like, subscribe, share, which subscribe is follow, I guess you could say.
Well, subscribe to the YouTube channel.
Subscribe to the YouTube channel.
Hit the notification bell so you'll be notified every time we upload a brand new episode.
That's right.
Follow us on social media, TikTok, Instagram, LinkedIn as well.
LinkedIn as well.
Facebook is coming soon, but follow us. You have questions, don't be afraid to ask. We are all in this together. We all in this to help each other and to make each other better.
That's right. And again, if you want us to talk about a few things, just drop it in the comment section and we'll put it in the next episode and kind of, you know, keep that engagement going. So I want to thank you guys again for stopping by. Welcome to the Maintenance Diaries.
Thank you, man. Episode 2 is in the bag and I'm excited, guys. Peace! We did it, my boy.
Yes, sir. Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Maintenance.